Thank you, Brother Glenn. I'd like to welcome to each of you to the house of the Lord tonight. Thank you for taking your time to be here. I installed this switch myself and I can't even find it now. Once again, I'd like to thank you guys for being here tonight. It's a beautiful afternoon up there and the clouds are building up. Looks like we might get some pretty good rain just in time. And I know Brother Gary, thank to all of us for, to all those who were able to be here yesterday. We got a lot of done and it was a lot to do. Could not be done by myself, by a few of us only, but I really want to thank you and I'm happy for all of you to show up. It's just like this morning, Brother remind us the you know, the God wants to see a clean heart in ourselves. And I was just thinking about that when he was talking this morning, just like the building was really congested with overgrowing branches, trees, and bushes, and all those things. Our heart can do the same. Ourselves can do the same when we are away from each other. Right now, I see everybody here, and I'm like, it's like a bunch of batteries together. It give us energy to be here. And you feel lift up. You feel courage to continue on in the path we are. The less we are, the weaker we are. Not weaker, weak. The weak we are. But more is always a strong hold. And I see everyone here, and I feel really, really happy to be here, especially I see Brother Joe here. Yeah, I always look up to him. A lot of people here that are really good examples to me. And so I'm very happy and thankful that God has kept us in his under care and under his protection. We haven't really suffered anything from this epidemic that we've been dealing with all these days. And Brother Mark, thank you for taking the time, and we'll keep you in our prayers continually. God has blessed you greatly. Your desire is to be here, even when maybe you don't feel like it, but you feel the need, and that we also feel the need, because God loves us, and He just wants us to continue on in the path of the faith and the trust and the hope that we have in him and the words that he has told us, that we may make it to the end as we are in this race. I'd like to welcome to all of you who are up there in this, that are able to see the service through this live streaming, through this electronics that we have these days. They come really handy these days also, especially right now. So be patient with me, and we'll get through this hour. It's only 6:12. Well, what God has told me these days in my heart, the message he has put in my heart, I hope that I bring it to you guys clearly and that you guys understand the point that I want to make. And perhaps, maybe you will not see the point, but these words will comfort you in a way that it will be a blessing to you. I'm going to start with the Romans, in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 6 to 11. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for the righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some won't even dare to die. God had so much love for each of us. There are a lot of people these days, and with all this going on and all these problems we're going through, they're like, where is God? Where is God? What is his promises? For a good man, some won't even dare to die, but Christ dared to die for you and I, that you may be saved through him, being the last sacrifice. He fulfilled everything that as you can see, that you can see in the Old Testament. Everything came to fulfill in him. All we have to do that you may be saved through Christ Jesus is to look to him, to be in him, to baptize in his name, as he told his disciples in those days, to go around and baptize everyone who desired to follow him in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He was able, he was willing to die, to suffer for you and I in the cross. But God commands his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even that we were in sin, God knowing that we were sinners, he died for you and I. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. There is something that does make you think, that should make you think about it. Be worried a little bit. Did you want to be in the wrath of God? And if you have read your Bible, your scriptures, you know what to expect at the last days, at the end, when the judgment day comes. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to be? Where would you want to be? Right now, you might not see it. But at the end, you will wish to be on this side and not on the other side of suffering. Because it will be eternity. That's what it says in the scriptures. Eternal pain, eternal suffering. It will have no end. It will be forever. That should stir your brain a little bit and make you wonder and think about what should I do. It's so easy. It's so easy, but to make that step, it will take a long time. Even if you have heard from behind this pulpit over and over what to do and what the things to do that you may be saved. It's up to you. It's a free choice. That's another thing. He gives you the freedom to choose your relationship with him. In Deuteronomy 10, chapter 10, verse 12, it says, "And now, Israel, what do the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, and serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." To love him. That's all we need to do, because God is love. God is love. God loves you. It's not that he's taking a long time to come. He's just waiting patiently. Let's remember. Maybe this time I get it right. One day to him is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years to him for us is one day. He's not delaying his coming. He's not delaying it. He's giving you an opportunity and a chance that as you have, let's say like tonight, he's giving you this opportunity to hear what you need to be safe. Hear. What did he say? Those who have ears, let them hear the truth. The truth is in Christ. The truth will make you free. If you don't have Christ in you, you are dead. Those that die in Christ, it says in Thessalonians, I believe, will come back to life in Christ. But if you die without Christ, the Book of Mormon says that you should be on the other side. Because whatever spirit owns you when you die, he be on you. So, also, either for happiness or for suffering. That is the message over and over. That's what Christ taught us. Preach repentance. What is repentance for? For salvation. To be in his kingdom, to be in his mansion. Like he said, I'm going away to make room for you. That is another promise right there. And for what we know, he has mansions. special room for you in his kingdom. Don't you want to be there? I like to be there. And I hope I am. Because we, as human beings, we mess up. We make mistakes. But if you recognize those mistakes and you walk in Christ, you can always come to him and ask for forgiveness with all your heart and mind, like it says right here. But you need to fear the Lord God and his ways, always. Once you get to know God, you need to walk in his word, and obey his commandments. It's not easy. There's obstacles up there. There's a race. And I promise you that if we win this race, you'll be reward big. You'll be reward big. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Days full of danger, problems. We're living in those days right now. I heard Brother Adam say once when all this started, this world is in fire. And literally, it is in fire. I mean, you guys have seen all these wildfires going on, coming up everywhere, to all the states. Literally, it's on fire. But besides that, it's even spiritually, it's in fire. And that's why I said, as I see everyone here, it's like we are a whole bunch of batteries that we gather together, and the energy is just enormous. That's the way I see it. If we separate ourselves, we'd be like this building that we were cleaning up yesterday, full of all these vines. They slowly, they're going to wrap you down and take you down and congest you. And that's how the evil spirit works on you. It keeps you away. We need to think a little bit like that. But we're living in very dangerous days. For men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, trust breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those they are good, traitors, hated, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Wow. Having enough. A form of godliness. That's another thing, brothers and sisters, that we need to be so careful of these people who pretend to be godliness, followers of God. But really inside, you can't see, and I can't blame you. But as brothers and sisters in Christ, Christians, people take advantage of you and I in a way that you are trusting that he is the same as you, that they think the same as you, but we have to try. What did it say? Try the Spirit and make sure that it is the Spirit of God. Then when a lot of the times that we gather together in one spirit, do you believe what I'm telling you right now? Do you believe what I said? Do you believe what the scriptures are saying right now? And I believe you do, because you believe the same things I believe, because you believe the words that comes out of these two books is the word and the truth of God. Whereas having a form of godliness, there's so many up there, and I have seen read out of all these people. Some of our sisters put out something on Facebook that is horrible about some kids being found in some houses and it's evil people doing things. I mean, it's so much evil up there, brothers and sisters. We have to be so careful and acknowledge those things and be aware of these days that we are living. Denying the power there are from such, you turn away. For of this sort of day which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, letting laden with sins, lit with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds and reprobate concerning their faith. We have to be careful with those things. And you know who are these Jannes and these Jambres. Those are if you read the book of Exodus, you know that they're the ones that confront Moses, and they do the same thing that Moses was doing because they have the power of the devil. So they can do all those things to confuse you like they're doing it today. What did Christ tell us to do? Be mindful of those things, because many Christs will come out after me. But be aware of them, because they didn't come from me. He told us to be mindful of those things and be careful. Genesis 22:7. And Isaac is speaking to Abraham, his father, and say, my father, and he say, here I am, my son. He say, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham say, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. I don't know, and I can't tell how old was Isaac in those days. But I'm pretty sure the thing that he did, it was willing to do the will of his father, because he had no idea. He can see him in himself in the wood. Because if you remember, it was just the two of them walking into the mountain. And he started wondering himself, who's going to be the sacrifice, me or my father? I'm pretty sure Abraham was a little old in those days. I don't think he wrestled his own son to put him in the altar for a burning sacrifice. I'm pretty sure he didn't do that. But Isaac was willing to do that thing. And why did he do it? For love. Abraham was going to sacrifice his son for love. He still did not have the understanding. He had the understanding. He had the only son who will be his inherit of all this that God has promised him. God promised him a son, and now he wanted to take it away. He followed after what God was asking him to do without questioning. And that is how he became God's friend. That's what God wants of each of us right now, to trust in him. If you haven't come to him that you might be his friend also. Isaac was willing to die. And I don't know if I'm right, but if we remember Christ, when he was sacrificed, he carried his own wood. He carried a cross. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the same thing that God did for you and I, brothers and sisters, that he carried his cross where he was going to be put to death. And he did it for love, that you may be saved through him. God loves you. No matter what, he's always with you. That's what he promised to us. That once we start following him, he will be always with you. And that is what we've been having, these promises and this strength that we are still here. And I still can see you here. Isaac was willing to die. But now, when Abraham was already prophesying If you remember, he told his two helpers, we're going to go and offer sacrifice, and we will come back to you. They did come back to them. They did come back to their family. As he said it, only the guard took her a little bit farther for with his son, Jesus. He was really put to death. But it was for the reason that we may be saved through him. It was the last sacrifice, the Lamb of the God. That's what it says. He calls himself the Lamb of God. John 3:16, you know this verse very well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Don't you wonder? That's why I say he loves you so much that he does something that perhaps none of us could do it. We couldn't do it. Romans 5:7. says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some will even dare to die. That was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for you. He was able to do it. He was willing to do it. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. When you walk into the waters of baptism, you make this promise to love everyone around you and to love God and to carry that love with you, because love is bigger than anything else. If you don't have love, you don't have God with you. That's the way I see it. 1 Nephi 3:68-69. And it came to pass that I beheld the wrought iron which my father had seen, which the word of God, which lead to the fountains of living waters, or to the tree of life, which waters are the presentation of the love of God. And I also beheld the tree of life, which the representation of the love of God. This is a dream that our brother Lehi had in his vision. These days I have heard there has been so many dreams in our people, in our church. And I ask myself, what does these dreams mean? Should we trust them? Because I have heard so many dreams. Some of them, they've been so funny. Some of them, they're scary. I will call them nightmares. But God, even now, he speaks to us in dreams or visions. And I've been thinking about those things. I mean, we think about it in the old days, how God talked to his people over visions or dreams. He will like warn them of the things to come, of the things that they are to stay away from. For what I know, there's been like 20 or something dreams in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we all know that God talked to Joseph when Mary was pregnant with Jesus, and how he was willing to put her away for the reason that he was not the father, I mean, according to his understanding. But God talked to him in a vision and told him how it's been done. In the Old Testament, we read how the Solomon was able to talk to God, and God was offering him whatever he wanted, but he chose to be wisdom. In Nebuchadnezzar, the tree, Joseph, Daniel, how God talked to him also, but the most that I like to, I feel more interesting is Joseph, how he was telling his dream to his brothers, and how did he been treated by them for jealousies and all those things. So God talks to us in dreams, even now. So, but when you get a dream, when you have a dream, should we take it the way it is, or should we pray about it for an understanding? And we should. We should. And one of the dreams I'm going to speak up here is the you find it in Judges in 7, 12, 14. Chapter 7, verse 12, 14. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east along the valley, they were like grasshoppers for the multitude. And their camels was with numbers as the sand by the seaside the multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of the Midians and came into the tent and then smote them that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the word of Gideon, the son of Joah, man of Israel. For into his hand had God delivered the Midians into their host. This is a dream that it's a piece of bread that's coming down, rolling on the hill and lands over this enemy and kills them, basically. Were they able to understand this dream? I find that it's an example that these people were able to know the interpretation right away, right there. Dreams these days is hard to understand, but it's either for a warning or for a promise that we need to be aware and we need to pray for it. And as we all know, there's been some dreams that've been mentioned these days there's been some concern. There's been concern in the church. So I ask that you be mindful of that and take it very serious. Because it might mean something. It might mean something. Joseph, the dreamer, he got a double portion. He was the dreamer and the interpreter. He was able to interpret it into the dreams that he will have. And that's why it was hated by his brothers and many others. We're going to read it. Genesis 37. I'm going to read from 5 to 11. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hate him. Yet the more, and the same to them, here I pray you this dream, which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaves arose, and all stood up aright, and stepped upright. And behold, your sheaves stood up around about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren saying to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hate him for the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren. And say, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made absences. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and saying to him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? So I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth. And his brethren invite him. But his father observed this saying. His father knew that this has something to do with his dreams. And what happened? We all know the story that they had a famine, and all these things that he was dreaming, and everything came true. Everything came true. Matthew 11:18-21. God speak to Moses, to Joseph, how to save Jesus in those days of from King Herod. So he's speaking to him once again. Verse 18 says, Matthew 1, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being just a man and not willing to make her public example, was mind to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived is her son is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. From the beginning, God had a plan for us. A plan of salvation. And through danger and through dreams, he was able to save him so that his plan will be fulfilled, that he will save the world, that he will save us. But for that to happen, he used all these people and speaks to them in a dreams. So dreams, I believe, they can be useful these days also. And for our church to continue strong in our beliefs and to be able to go in other countries to preach the gospel through dreams. Brother Brian had a vision, had a dream or vision, don't know. And now he was able to bring the gospel to India, to Africa, and all those places. We need to listen to these dreams. God talks to us and to us in dreams. Matthew. Chapter 2:19-23. It's another dream how it was able the angel of the Lord speak to Joseph that they were able to come back from Egypt safely because Herod was dead. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared into a dream of Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel. For they are dead, which saw the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard the Archelaus dead reign in Judea and in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of the Galilee. What happened when the Magi's were coming to worship Jesus when he was born also, God told them, don't go back to Herod in a dream. So all this is being happened in a dream. And the reason that I bring this to you tonight is because there's been dreams up there, even now. Last days, as God has told us, and we're going to read it, that he will speak to us in these last days. He will tell us the things what to do. Shall we listen? Shall we obey? I believe so. I believe we should obey to those things. Another one I'm going to share, this is when Christ was about to be put to death by Pontius Pilate. Mark 27:15-19. And now at the feast of the governor was warned to release one to the people, a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate saying to them, whom will ye they are released unto you, Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him, for envy. He knew the truth, that he knew that Christ was not guilty of anything. He was an innocent man. But I really don't know how those things worked in those days. Maybe he did it to look good in front of the Jewish people. I don't know. But he if you remember, he did wash his hands because he had nothing to do with that. And on top of that, his wife said, have nothing to do with this man, because ever since I had a nightmare. I had a dream. It doesn't say what the dream was, but she means that he was innocent. She knew that he was innocent. And because that, she had this nightmare. And I really don't know what it was. But that's another way how she was able to tell him has nothing to do with this man. Don't touch him. Don't do anything. And whether the Jew people say, you know, let his blood fall on us and our children and our children's children. And it's been going on. Second John 1, verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. These are the deceivers and antichrist. We have to look to Christ. Look into him, follow him, worship him. There's a lot of speaking these days of the Antichrist. I don't care about the Antichrist. I care more about Christ. And you know, sometimes I go outside and look up and see the sky just to see what I see. I'm not looking to see where the Antichrist is going to come from. I'm looking to see when Christ is coming. That is our hope, and that's what we're waiting for. Look for those promises for the second coming of Christ. 1 John 4:3, and every spirit that confess not that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh is not of God. And in this is the spirit unto Christ. Wherefore ye have heard that it shall come, and even now already is in the world. And 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. Therefore, we know that it is the last time. This is the last thing. This is, we can't ignore it. That way, you will know that we're living in the last time. Because many, many Antichrists have come out. And they are here to deceive even the ones that believe in Christ. They are. They're up there. And we have to be aware of them, because their work is to discourage to those who have the hope of the second coming of Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:4, who apostate and exalt himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he is God sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That is something that kind of stir your brain a little bit. Who could that be? We have a really good study called the apostasy, and it has more understanding about this verse right here that I just read. But there's someone up there that is sitting in the throne, acting and pretending to be God, calling himself holy, holy Father. We all know that in the last days, God, like Brother Stephen says, he will win. The false prophet, the men of sin, and all those, they'll be ending in the lake of fire. No matter what, God will win. He will fight for you. But we have to be aware of those scoffers, because they're after. 2 Peter 3:3, and says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days the scoffers, walking after their own lusts, after their own understanding, after their own acknowledge, because they have, like I said, they have words that will convince you, as it's been through the time how people have fought over these things. They have fought of the truth, knowing the truth. They have walked away and believe other things. There is only one God. There is no other God. And that is his point from the beginning. That's why he destroyed all these gods in the Old Testament, all these false gods, the people will make with their hands to worship instead of worship him. Just like the brother Jared, the brother mentioned it this morning, God is jealous. And if you don't worship him, if you don't call upon his name, he knows. He will stop blessing you. He will stop lifting you up. When you are blessed by God, you know that he is with you. And you know those blessings that came from him. Hebrews 12:1-2 says, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which thou so easily beset us, and let us run the patience, with patience, the race that is set before us, looking into Jesus, the author and the finish of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He didn't care. I believe it in those days, and I don't know who mentioned it, but in those days, that was the most shameful way to die, hanging on the cross. That was the most shameful way. And he was willing to do it. But now, because he did that, it says right here at the end of this verse, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And that's where he promised to us that we will be next to him, in the kingdom of God, next to him. Acts 1:10. And while they look steadfast, this is when he was taken up to heaven. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as we went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. The same way, if you remember this verse, he told them, the same way that you see Christ living, the same way he will come back in his glory and the clouds to you. Look up to Christ. Look up. Don't look for the Antichrist. Forget him. We care about Christ Jesus. This is who we are waiting for, not the Antichrist. Not even mind of that guy, whoever that is. We read in Joel 2:28, it told us that in the last days, he will pour out his Holy Spirit to all his people, that we going to have dreams and visions. And we need to think about that a little bit more, because we have seen it. We have seen it, that he has doing it. And there are some brothers and sisters here sitting right now, they have had some dreams. We live in the last days, brothers and sisters. That's the way I see it. We are living in the last days. We have to be aware of those days. I thank you for your time. This is my thoughts for tonight, my thoughts for tonight. I pray that they make sense to you. They, no matter what happened, we have to look into Jesus. We have problems are surrounding us. They're all over us. But you know what? Keep that joy in your face and walk with patience the race that we are. I love you so much, and I pray that God be with you, that the Spirit will guide you and direct you in all things. And I thank you.